Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16. We'll read text number 10 and 11. Number 11's on the board. I'll read 10 by myself. Api saive kusalinas tavaputra manasvini lakshaye svastum atmanam bhavatya lakshanairaham. This is Kashyapa Muni speaking to his wife Aditi. O great-minded lady, are all your sons faring well? Seeing your withered face, I can perceive that your mind is not tranquil. How is this so? Text number 11, please repeat. Sri Adityar Uvacha. Sri Adityar Uvacha. Bhadram Dvijagavam Brahman. Bhadram Dvijagavam Brahman. Dharmasyasya Janasya Cha. Dharmasyasya Janasya Cha. Tri Vargasya Padam Chaitram. Tri Vargasya Padam Chaitram. Griha Maiden Griha Ime. Griha Maiden Griha Ime. Sri Aditi Uvacha. Sri Mati Uditi Aditi said, Bhadram, all auspiciousness. Dvijagavam, of the Brahmins and the cows. Brahman, O Brahman, Dharmasya Asya, of the religious principles mentioned in Shastra. Janasya, of the people in general. Cha, and Tri Vargasya, of the three processes of elevation. Dharma, Artha, and Kama. Padam, the supreme. Chaitram, field. Griha Maidin, O my husband, who are attached to household life. Griha, your home. Ime, all these things. Aditi said, O my respected Brahman husband, all is well with the Brahmins, the cows, religion, and the welfare of other people. O master of the house, the three principles of Dharma, Artha, and Kama flourish in household life, which is consequently full of good fortune. Please repeat. Aditi said, O my respected Brahman husband, all is well with the Brahmins, the cows, religion, and the welfare of other people. O master of the house, the three principles of Dharma, Artha, and Kama flourish in household life, which is consequently full of good fortune. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In household life, one can develop the three principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification according to the regulations given in the Shastras. But to attain liberation, one must give up household life and place himself in the transcendental renounced order. Kashyapa Muni was not in the renounced order of life. Therefore, he is addressed here once as Brahman and another time as Griha Maiden. Aditi, his wife, assured him that as far as household life was concerned, everything was going nicely, and the Brahmins and cows were being honored and protected. In other words, there was no disturbances. Household life was duly progressing. Gora Graganya Gana Gocha Goloruhadam Goranga Guda Tamagopyada Kopa Briksham Gopala Gada Ratidam Yati Singha Gora Govinda Deshi Kavaram Satatam Namami. So here in this verse, Aditi, the mother of the Devatas and the wife, one of the wives of Kashyapa Muni, she uses the word Bhadram. She said everything is auspicious here in our household life. And the verse is describing this household life is full of good fortune because it's maintaining the principles of Dharma, Artha, and Kama. A similar point is made in the third canto of the Bhagavatam in chapter 14 in the discussion between Kashyapa Muni and his other wife, Diti, who is the mother of the Asuras. And Kashyapa Muni, he tells Diti, Sarvashraman upadaya swashramena kalatravan vyasanarnavam atyeti jalavayanair yatarnavam. Just, Prabhupada translates, as one can cross over the ocean with sea-going vessels, one can cross the dangerous situation of the material ocean by living with a wife. And Srila Prabhupada notes in the purport, he says, there are four orders for cooperation in the endeavor for liberation from material existence. And Grihastha Ashram is one of these. And he concludes the purport saying that ultimately, every member of society automatically becomes spiritually advanced and easily crosses the ocean of nescience by taking shelter of an ashram. Ashraya means shelter. An ashram is a place where we take shelter. In Mumbai, in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada, he was very beautiful to listen to him. He was speaking, saying that there's four ashrams. He says, Brahmachari ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, Sannyas ashram. And each one is an ashram. And it's not that one is necessarily better. We give more respect to the Sannyas ashram in a social way. But spiritually, we give the most respect, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, to someone who has Krishna bhakti. So Kashyapa Muni, he tells his wife, Diti, Yamahur Atmano Yardham Sreyas Kama Shemanini Yasham Swaduram Adyasya Pumam Shadati Vidvara. Oh, respectful one, a wife is so helpful that she's called the better half of a man's body because of her sharing in all auspicious activities. A man can move without anxiety, entrusting all responsibilities to his wife. Yamashri Kendriyatin Durjayan Itarashramai Vayam Jaye Mahela Birdashun Durga Patiryata. As a fort commander very easily conquers invading plunderers by taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses which are unconquerable and other social orders. Navayam Prabhavastam Twam Anukartam Griheshvari Apyasyusa Vakartsnyena Yechanye Guna Gridnava. O Queen of the Home, we are not able to act like you, nor could we repay you for what you have done, even if we worked for our entire life or even after death. To repay you is not possible, even for those who are admirers of personal qualities. So, in Krishna consciousness, in the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Grihe tako, vani tako. We don't pay so much stress upon the ashram. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Ramananda Roy, Eho Bhaya, Age Kaha Ar. When he asked Ramananda Roy, what is the best thing? Then Ramananda Roy told him, Vanashrama Charavata, that to follow Vanashram Dharma is the best thing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's little external. And Mahaprabhu himself, he said, Naham vipro na chadanara paiti naipi vaishyana sudo, Naham varni na chagriha patano vanastra yatirvat, Kintu projan nikila paramananda pranamritabdir gopi vartahu padakamalayor dasa das anudasaha. We should have this attitude toward ourselves. I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a grihastha, I don't belong to any of the varnas or ashrams, but my only identity is the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas, in particular, the servant of the servant of the gopis of Braj. There are two considerations which Srila Prabhupada spoke in one lecture here in Vrindavan, Nectar Devotion Lecture in 1972. I like very much to speak on this topic. Prabhupada spoke one sentence, but packed in that one sentence is a lot of purport. At the Radha Damodar Temple in 72, in his Nectar Devotion Lecture, Srila Prabhupada said, there are two considerations, the Smarta Vichar and the Goswami Vichar. The Smarta Vichar means those persons who Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes as Bahirmukh Jana, or Swanishtita. They have strong faith. They must follow all the rules and regulations of Vanashram Dharma. And they're external persons because they're thinking of the body. Whereas a Goswami Vichar is characterized that it's someone who's antarmukjana, an internal person. And they're not seeing themselves as a body. They're not depending upon the body. And Bhaktivinoda says the first is Swanishita, the second is Paranishita or Nirapeksha. Paranishita means their nishta, their conviction is higher. And they may take shelter of Vanashram Dharma. But they do so because this will help me in my bhakti. Not because I need it. Not because bhakti is dependent upon it. The Bhagavatam describes that bhakti is swarat. That bhaktya, sanjayate bhakti. The bhakti comes from bhakti. It's not dependent upon any external thing. So such a Vaishnav, he understands that my bhakti is not dependent on Vanashram, but it will be safer for me if I do this. And for the Nirapeksha Sadhak, they may follow Vanashram Dharma, they may not follow Vanashram Dharma. They don't care. So we want to develop bhakti. And our consideration, our main consideration, is not external things. But this is a very difficult thing for Bahirmukjanas, which is 99.99% of the population of the world today. They need something, and therefore Srila Prabhupada, he said that we have to incorporate Vanashram Dharma because people are not ready for it. But our Vanashram Dharma system is not Asura Vanashram, the demoniac system of Vanashram, where people are focusing on the body and external things like that. But ours is Daivi Vanashram, the Paranishita Sadhak. He's thinking, I do this because it will help me in my bhakti, but not because my bhakti is dependent upon it. Rupa Goswami, in his Charama Shloka of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, most important verse, he says, Anyabhi Lasita Shunyam. All your nonsense things should be sunya. But jnana karma adi anabritam. Gyan karma, and note the word adi, which means etc., should be anabritam. It shouldn't cover bhakti. And in his commentary, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that why not use the word sunyatam for jnana and karma? No jnana, no karma. He says, because some jnana and some karma can be beneficial for bhakti. They give an example. He says there's three types of jnana: tat-padartha jnana, tvam-padartha jnana, and jiva-brahma-aikya jnana, or knowledge of myself as a soul, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and knowledge of the oneness of the jiva, the Jivatma and the Paramatma, which he says the latter is detrimental for bhakti, but the first two can be beneficial. But anabritam, bhakti, is not dependent upon those things. And we see the example of Gopakumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, who was a cowherd boy living at Govardhan. And one day while taking bath in the Jamuna, he met some strange Hare Krishna devotee who told him, hey, you should chant this mantra. He didn't tell him what the mantra meant. And he didn't know anything about the mantra. And he just started chanting the mantra. He didn't have a philosophical understanding of Tat Padartha Gyan or Tvam Padartha Gyan, knowledge of the soul or knowledge of Bhagavan. But he got everything all the way up to Goloka Vrindavan. And it's a long story. So bhakti is not dependent upon that. But in some cases, those things can help. Yeah? So there's types of gyan like that. Some types of karma, some types of fruit of activities can also help if we give the fruit of our works to Krishna. But they're not dependent. And the word adi, Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath explain, the word adi, meaning etc., refers to vanashram dharma. Karma also refers to vanashram dharma. And it refers to renunciation. It refers to charity and other things. Adi. These things are not necessarily bad. Anabritam, they shouldn't cover bhakti. And Jiva says they may cover bhakti in one of two ways. Number one, you might think that that gyan or that vanashram or that karma is the goal. That's the goal of my life, to be rightly situated within vanashram dharma. And the goal of my life is to one day take sannyas. That's my career choice. Right? Some people think like that. This is a mentality, the smartavichara, the bahirmukh janas. So it may cover bhakti. That's not the goal. The goal is bhakti. The second way it may cover bhakti is that someone may think, unless I do this, I can't get bhakti. So that's also covering bhakti. But bhakti is swarat. And bhakti is not dependent on a particular ashram. Bhakti can be practiced in any ashram. In the prayers to Krishna by Lord Brahma, in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, he says, Tavad ragadayaste nas tavat kara griham griham tavan moho nigri nigadot yavat krishna nate janaha. My dear Krishna, he says, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves. Their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Saritadarshini gives a very interesting commentary here. He says there's a conversation going on. Lord Brahma speaks this, and Krishna protests. He said, wait a minute. He said, if you speak like this, then the sannyasis may become proud. And they may think that the inhabitants of Braj, who are all householders, they're just in maya. They're just in household life. And they're bound up by wife, children, and so many other things. And Brahma, Vishwanath says, replies to Krishna. He says, yes, that's true. For most materialistic grihasthas. He says, but what to speak of the householders of Braj? Even your ordinary devotees in other places are superior to these sannyasi critics. Attachment, hatred, and other material emotions are great thieves because they steal the treasure of bliss from the soul. The rebellious souls are bound by their karma, placed in the prison cell of household life, and tied with foot shackles to a host of illusions so that they cannot criticize the Supreme Lord. He says, O Krishna, Brahma says, as long as people don't get the mercy of your devotees and become your followers, they'll remain in this position. However, when they become your devotees, they develop attachment for bhakti, an aversion to things obstructing bhakti. And thus, they give all their love to you. In this way, the thieves of material attraction, hatred, and love become sanctified by becoming fixed in you. And then they help the devotees by giving them spiritual bliss, knowledge, and a host of other advantages. So sometimes we think, I remember we were speaking about this, I think, last night. We were giving a talk in Odessa in Ukraine a few years ago. And I was mentioning how devotees should learn to love each other. And there was a brahmachari friend of ours there listening. And at the end, he raised his hand. He said, "Prabhuji, there's no such thing as love in the material world." And he's right. And Srila Prabhupada writes like that, those exact words in one letter to one non-devotee lady who wrote to him. He said, "There's no such thing as love in the material world." But I told that brahmachari, we don't want to live in the material world. Our society, our temples, our ashrams should not be the material world. There should be love amongst the devotees. Paraspara anukatanam bhavanam bhagavadyasamita ratamitashtushtinavitamita atmana. The 11th canto of the Bhagavatam describes that we should learn how to associate with devotees. And we do that by coming together to hear Krishna katha. The Satvata Tantra describes Hari Lila Satochara Paresha Satatam Tvaya Kaya Pritas Tavahar Yata Bhakti Nanashati. If you want to protect your bhakti, you should learn to love devotees. The word priti is used. But how do we love devotees? The problem, you see, is that when we come to the movement, we don't know what love is. We have merely read so many books by Eric Fromm, a great psychologist who speaks about love. We may have seen Love Story, a famous movie, 100 times. We may have read so many romantic books, but we don't know anything about love. The Bhagavatam describes what is real love. It has three qualities. It's ahoitaki, it has no motivation. It's apratiyata, it never stops. And the result of that, it's yayatma supersedity. It gives great bliss to the soul. But material relationships are just the opposite. They're hoitaki, they have a motivation. They're pratiyata, they have an end. Dear John, it's been nice, but now maybe we can just be friends. People get letters like this in the world every day, and there's no yayatma supersedity. Rather, there's the most terrible, terrible type of suffering. But don't think that grihastha ashram is simply a place of suffering. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in one commentary, he says that what is the suffering in the grihastha ashram? He says that the suffering in the grihastha ashram is false expectations. It's not inherent with diapers or screaming babies or nagging wives or having to work jobs to make money. None of those things are the inherent cause of unhappiness in grihastha ashram, but it's false expectations. She thinks, he's going to treat me like a princess, and he'll buy me gifts every day and bring me flowers. And he's thinking, when I marry her, she'll serve me, she'll wash my clothes, she'll do the dishes, she'll cook for me, and she'll never nag. She'll be a perfect, ideal wife. There's some problems ahead, So Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes a very interesting conversation in the first canto, chapter 4, between Hanuman and Narad Muni. Hanuman is a great brahmachari, and so is Narad Muni. And Hanuman, he tells Narad Muni, Brihad Bratadaran Asmams Tams Chagar Hascha Dharamina Samraja Vyapritan Matva Maparada Vitobhava. He said, don't let your intelligence become confused by some offensive idea that because you and I are Brihad Bratadaran, we have this Brihad Brata, we're brahmacharis. We never talk to women. Don't think that because we're brahmacharis that we're better than the Pandavas. And the Pandavas are just, they're in Maya. And they're doing all this political activities and things. They're involved in household life. He says, Nispiha sarvakameshu krishna padanu sevaya tevai paramahamsanam acharya acharya padambujaha. He said, the Pandavas They're nispriha, sarva karma su. They don't want anything material. They don't have any material desires. They have no lusty desires because they're constantly serving Krishna's lotus feet. He says, what to speak of that? Tevai paramahamsanam, all the paramahamsas, acharya acharya, great acharyas, padambuja, they're worshipping the lotus feet of Yudhisthira, Bhim, Arjuna, Nakul, and Sahadev, because they're such great devotees. He said, Krishna prasada janita, Krishna eva samarpitaha, nasa kam kam api prittim, yagyo janaitam kvachit. Yudhisthira Maharaj achieved all his opulence by Krishna's mercy, but then he offered it all to Krishna, and that opulence was never attracted to him. He didn't care for it at all. He said, Krishna prema agni dhandaya manata karanashihi shud agni vikalashyeva vasa shruk chandanadaya. He said, because Krishna prema agni, Yudhisthira Maharaj's heart, there's a fire going on in his heart of Krishna prem. Then that fire of love for Krishna, he's not attracted by any type of opulence. Any more kshud agni vikalesha vasa shrak charanadaya than a man who's eaten a nice meal would be attracted by hunger. He says, na priya deha sambandhan na chaturvarga sadhanat param shri krishna padabja prema sambandhata priyaha. He says, the Draupadi, who's like the original Miss Universe, Draupadi and his brothers, the Pandavas, they're dear to Yudhisthira not because of bodily ties or because even they help him to reach the four goals of material life, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. But they're dear to him because they're devotees of Krishna. And Gopi Pranandana Prabhu, who's paraphrasing some of Sanatana Goswami's commentary, he explains in the purport. He said, it's true that Yudhisthira was very much attached to his brothers and wife, but that attachment was not material. It was based not on identification with material bodies, but on the pure spiritual identities of him and his family as eternal servants of Krishna. Srimati Draupadi was the most excellent queen any emperor could have, and she was empowered with the beauty and other transcendental qualities of Lord Vishnu's consort, Lakshmi Devi. But Yudhisthira's affection for her was not due to being attracted by these qualities. He was completely immune to such attraction. Yudhisthira's brothers and wife also offered him valuable assistance in fulfilling his responsibilities for dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. These four material aims of life, however, were also powerless to distract him from his attachment to Krishna's lotus feet. Anything or anyone associated with Krishna is dear to a pure Vaishnava. So when Vaishnavas come together in either casual or lifetime relationships, they naturally develop love for one another. Srila Prabhupada spoke about this also in one lecture in Los Angeles in 1968. And Prabhupada said there that our movement means devotees. And he said, just as we love Krishna, devotees should also learn to love each other. This is our society. But we love each other by keeping Krishna in the center. Then it's really ahaitaki apratiyata. It really has no selfish motivation. It never ends. And it's yatma supersedity. It really fills the heart with so much happiness. Our message to people in the world is not that love is bad. Our message is you should have more love. But our message is you need to learn what love really is. And there's a huge, huge misconception in the world today what that love is. We're not against love. Actually, we're the professors of love. We're the advocates of love. But we say that real love has these three qualities. Ahaitaki, apratiyata, yatma supersedity. If it has some material motivation, it's not love, it's lust. If it comes to an end, it wasn't real love. How could it end if it's real love? If it's real love, it'll satisfy the heart and there'll be unlimited bliss. But if it's mundane, then there'll be unlimited anxiety. So we should learn to see things in this way. In this regard, there's a nice story which comes both in the Nrsimha Purana and in the Mahabharata. There was one Brahmin whose name was Yajna Sharma. He was living in Kosala. He had a wife whose name was Rohini. And they had a son, a very good son, whose name was Deva Sharma. And in the Mahabharata, he's called Kaushika. And this Brahmin, Deva Sharma, was raised in a very nice way by his father. His father performed all the Dasvidhi sanskars, all the different sanskars, including Garbhodan sanskar before the birth. And he raised his son in a very nice way. But at a young age of the boy, his father passed away. And Deva Sharma, he was a staunch brahmachari. And so he told his mother, "No offense, Mom, but you're Maya. I don't hang out with women. Goodbye." And so he left home because he was a very staunch brahmachari. And he was making his way around different places. And he was so renounced. All that he had was one pair of kopans. And he wouldn't work a job or anything. But he would do madhukari every day. So once he had taken bath in a river, and he spread his kopans out, his only clothing he had, on the bank next of the river next to him. And then suddenly a strange thing happened. Two birds suddenly swooped down and they picked up his kopans and they started flying away. It was a big problem, if that's all that you have to wear. He became very, very angry, this brahmachari, Deva Sharma. And he glared at those birds full of anger, gave a glance full of anger. And suddenly, at the moment that he glanced with so much anger at the birds, the two birds fell down on the ground dead. And Deva Sharma thought, "Yes, just see what brahmachari tejas I have, how powerful I am." So he put his kopans on. And later that day, he went to the village to give his mercy to those poor, rotten, unfortunate grihasthas. And he went and knocked on one door. And a lady came to the door in perfect Sanskrit. He said, "Bho Mata Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi. Oh Mata, please give me some alms. This is your lucky day, you poor, miserable soul. You're getting darshan of me." He was saying like that. This lady's name was Savitri. And she was a very, very chaste lady, very simple housewife. She'd never studied Veda, Vedanta, never lived in a brahmachari ashram, like the wives of the Yajna Brahmins. It's described in Bhagavatam. They never studied, they never took initiation. Very simple devotees. So immediately she said, oh, this is indeed my lucky day. Just wait one moment, I'll go and get something for you. And she ran to get something for that brahmachari. Just at that time, Savitri's husband happened to return home. And when that chaste lady saw that her husband had returned, she forgot all about the brahmachari. And immediately she sat her husband down, "Please sit in a nice comfortable chair." She washed his feet. She brought some nice food for him and some cold drink. And she was serving her husband. And meanwhile, the brahmachari was waiting impatiently outside. And he was getting more and more angry. And then after a little while, Savitri, she realized, "Oh, I forgot about the brahmachari outside." And so she took a tray with some flour and vegetables and different things, and she went out there, "Please forgive me, my husband returned." And the brahmachari didn't say anything. All that he did was he glared at her in a very, very angry way. The same glance that he gave to those two poor birds which fell down dead. And he's glaring at the lady like that, and nothing happened. So he glared a little more, and nothing happened. And he really squinted his eyes and really glared. And the lady said, "Would you stop making faces at me?" She said, "Look, don't think that I'm like those two innocent birds that you killed." And Deva Sharman was very astonished. How did you know about those birds? Nobody was there. She said, look, you think I'm just a housewife. You don't want to give any respect to me. That's your choice. It's fine. She said, but you know, I'm Trikala Gya. I can see past, present, and future because of my chastity to my husband, who's a devotee. I have this ability. And I could see that you killed these two innocent birds in this way. And moreover, I also know that you left your poor innocent mother, Rohini, and she's been suffering. She has no one to take care of her. And now she's having to beg alms in her old age. And you've done a very bad thing. You think that you had this potency because of your brahmacharya, but you're wrong. The reason you had this potency is because of the sanskaras that your father performed, because of the love and prayers that your mother gave to you. And he said, oh. So at that time, Deva Sharman kind of sort of had an attitude adjustment. And he realized, oh, please forgive me. You should be my guru, he said. And she said, no, no, I'm not your guru. And that's another long story in Mahabharata, who was his guru. She sent him somewhere else. But she told him that you should return to your village, to your mother. And you should take care of her. And he said, okay, all right, I'm going. And she said, oh, and one other thing too. You should get married. So you'll find there's a nice lady, nice man in a family nearby, and your destiny is to accept this man's daughter as your wife. So you should accept her, and she'll give birth to a baby boy who will perpetuate your family. And then she told him, that Punar Martayam Bariyayam Bhavita Tvam Chidandaka Sayatya Shramadharmena Yatokyanustitena Cha Narasingha Prasadena Vaishnavam Padapasyasi. When your wife later passes away, Punar Mrityam Bariyayam, then Bhavita Tvam Tridandika, you should become a Tridandi Sannyasi. And you should follow Sayatya Shramadharmena, the disciplines, the dharma of that sannyas ashram. And then later, Narasingha Prasadena Vaishnavam Padapasasi. By the mercy of Lord Nisringadev, you'll certainly attain the abode of Lord Vishnu. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Sikshamrita gives a long discussion. I don't think we should go in that direction right now. But he says there's eight different types of respect, beginning with Nara Matrera Maryada. Maryada means some respect. The first type of respect is to anyone who's a human being. More respect, he says, is to someone, Sabhyatera Maryada, someone who's a gentleman and he belongs to a sabha. But more than that, Vidya Maryada, someone who has knowledge. More than that, Sadguna Maryada, someone who has good qualities. But even more than that, we give respect, he says, to Varna Maryada, to someone who especially is a sannyasi, to someone especially who's a Brahmin, who has the qualities of knowledge. But more than that, we give respect to Ashram Maryada, which means we give respect to the sannyasis. But the last and final level of respect, which is most important in a devotee society, he says, is Bhakti Maryada. We give more respect to Bhakti. Think about it. In Jagannath Puri, we think of two devotees. We think of Ramananda Roy, who was, some people might consider to be a pocha grihasta, or a rotten grihasta. And sometimes he was massaging the naked bodies of dancing girls. And then on the other hand, you have a great sannyasi who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And his name was Ramachandra Puri. Ramachandra Puri was a great fault finder. Whereas Ramananda Roy, who is a humble householder engaged in political affairs, was a great transcendentalist. So who do we want to associate with? Who do we want to give respect to? We should always give respect to the quality of bhakti. And we should understand that bhakti is our goal. Our goal is not to just make progress in Vanashram Dharma in my career is that I want to become a sannyasi. I want to have some position like that. But our career, our desire is to have Krishna Bhakti. And that's the purpose of the Brahmacharya Ashram, the Grihastha Ashram, the Vanaprastha Ashram, and the Sannyasa Ashram. Whatever ashram we go to, we want to go to an ashram which is favorable for bhakti. And the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says, Gyane prayasamuda pasya namanta eva. That you should give up all this gyan. Stani stita shruti gatam tanuvan manobir. Just stay where you're at. And Prabhupada comments on that in one place. He says, stay in whatever ashram you are. It doesn't matter. You don't have to change ashrams. Because our purpose is to get bhakti, not just to perform vanashram dharma. And bhakti can be given in any ashram, like we see in the case of Ramananda Roy. So we'll stop here. Can we have time for a few questions or something, Babuji? Thank you. Also, all the senior devotees here, please forgive me for speaking in front of you. It's very nice to come to Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Preeti Prabhu. Does anybody have any comments, any reflections, or maybe questions? Prabhuji, is there a microphone for him? Raise your hand, Prabhu.
Thank you for the nice class. Prabhuji, as you mentioned that bhakti should be the parameter to respect that the sweet make criteria for respecting others. But in society of devotees, how do you recognize that who has so much bhakti?
That's a very, very good question. And the answer is, you don't know. You can't tell. We might criticize Ramachandra Puri. What a rascal. He was saying bad things about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and criticizing all the devotees. But do you know something? According to Srila Kavi Karnapur, Ramachandra Puri is an eternal associate of Krishna in Braj Leela. And Ramachandra Puri came in Gaura Leela to help enhance the Lord's pastimes. In Krishna Leela, Ramachandra Puri is someone called Jatila. So don't criticize even Ramachandra Puri. So then how do we know? Rupa Goswami gives a simple formula in Upadeshamrita, Krishneti Yashigari Tom Manasadriyeta. Anybody who chants Hare Krishna, we should respect them. Because it's such a great thing to chant Krishna's name. Maybe they're making fun of the devotees. Hare Krishna. My first Harinam I went on with the devotees in Venice Beach, someone hit me in the head with an egg. And they're making fun of the devotees, but they're chanting the holy name. I can respect that. It's a great thing. Dikshesti chet panati bishcha bhajantamisham. But if someone is initiated in worshiping the deity, then I offer my obeisances to them. I don't know. The person might be completely bogus. Or like in Kolkata, sometimes the poor people, the bungies, the street sweepers, they go and they buy, I don't know what you call it here, but in Orissa we call it a paita, a Brahmin thread, for a few paisa, and they put on the Brahmin thread, and they get some incense, and they go to some rickshaw wall, and they say, shung, shung, and they make some funny words, and they do some puja, and they ask for some bakshish then. But you don't know if the person's really bona fide or not, but we see they're worshiping the Lord. That quality we respect. We don't know if they're really a madhyamadikari or not. And bhajana vigyan, someone who's expert in bhajan. Well, who's expert in bhajan? Someone can take a course. They can be a non-devotee and study bhajan. Nindari shunya hidam. Their heart is free from the propensity to criticize others. Well, Prabhupada says this is an uttama adhikari. In the last 45 minutes or so that we've been sitting here and speaking, I haven't criticized anyone, have I? So, I must be an uttama adhikari by that, right? You can fool someone. I can control my speech for a little while and convince you I'm not criticizing anyone. So then what does it mean? It means the qualities. We look for these qualities. Anyone who chants Krishna's name. But sometimes people chant Krishna's name and they don't behave so well. But dikshesti chet pranati bish. If they're worshipping the deity, that's very good behavior. I respect that. But even sometimes some of the pujaris, I live in Jagannath Puri, they don't have such good behavior. So then someone who's expert in bhajan, Nindadi Shunir Hidam Ipsita Sangha Labhya. Ipsita Sangha Labhya. I want to associate with someone who's expert in bhajan because it'll be good for me. I'll learn some shastra. I'll learn how to worship Krishna. And Nindadi Shunir Hidam. If their heart is free from the propensity to criticize others, how do I know that? There's no x-ray machine that can detect if someone's heart is free from the propensity to criticize others. It's a relative assessment in my life. If I associate with someone and I never hear them criticizing others, then I should think this person has bhakti. They may be a quiet person. It might be a small child. It might be a housewife. Might be a householder, it might be the temple president, might be a GBC. I can't tell externally. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur presents a beautiful story about Bhrigu Muni. Same story as in the 10th canto, but he presents it a little more in depth, actually. He says that Bhrigu Muni seemed like he went and did a terrible offense. He kicked Vishnu in the chest. It was really bad. But actually, he was doing that to glorify Vishnu. Because then Vishnu said, oh my gosh, what? My chest is so hard. Did you hurt your foot? I committed some offense. And in this way, Vishnu was shown to be the topmost of all the devatas. So then Vrindavan Das Thakur raises a question. Okay, if someone might be a Vaishnav and they go and they kick the deity, the Lord, in the chest, and they're actually a great Vaishnav, I can't tell, then gosh, how do I tell who's a Vaishnava and who's not? It's a big problem. In the writings of Jagadananda Pandit, he says, Vaishnava chiniti nai devata shakati. Even the demigods, whose powers of sensory perception are millions of times greater than ours, they can't tell who's a Vaishnava. So how can we tell? So Vrindavan Das Thakur says, I have a very good solution. Just respect everybody. Because you don't know who's a Vaishnava and who's not a Vaishnava. And if we behave in a humble way, amanina manadena, we respect everyone, then that Vaishnava, a param Vaishnava, may reveal themselves to us. Krishna may reveal to us in the heart, this person's a very special person. But otherwise, we can't see. It's a very good question. Thank you. Anything else, sir? Mataji, is there a microphone for her? In Preetu Prabhu, you had something? Oh, you had something, I'm sorry. I just saw a hand.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your lecture. I want to ask that I have heard somewhere that the faults which we see, which we observe, is the reflection of the fault which we have in ourselves.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes that exact point in his commentary on Upadeshamrita. He said, when we see faults in others, it means it's faults within ourselves.
So my question is, what should be how we should act when we see the fault in someone else? So what should be our behavior and what should we do?
Well, that depends on your situation. Depends on our field of influence. If you're just a rank and file devotee, if you're a new bhakta, and you see some senior devotees not wearing neck beads, or maybe they don't have tilak on, it's probably not your position to go and chastise them or correct them. On the other hand, if you're a mother and you have a child, and you hear the child is stealing something from some shop here in Vrindavan, you have a responsibility, an obligation to chastise that child. If someone's a temple president, the temple commander, they have an obligation as part of their service to do that. But I can tell you for myself, thank God I don't have that position. And I don't want that position. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote, nothing personal. He wrote in one letter to a disciple. He said, why do you want to criticize other devotees? Why do you want to find fault with me? He said, that's my miserable task. Why do you want to take on my job? Your life can be simple. You're just a brahmachari in the ashram. You don't have to worry about the GBC resolutions and this thing and that thing. You can just chant Hare Krishna and be in the 24-hour kirtan and be simple. But if we have some position, if we have a responsibility as a temple leader, a leader in the society, or a preacher, or a parent, then we have an obligation. We must correct someone, but according to our means. And even then, we can't be a mad, crazy person. You're my son. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of this world. My father sometimes says, you're going to follow my instructions or else. And it's not very inspiring. And sometimes the children, they lose faith in their parents. So it's also a practical thing. We have to see how much love is there, how much faith do they have. The devotees could accept chastisement from Srila Prabhupada because they knew Srila Prabhupada loved them and there was no mundane exploitation. So we should think about it. Okay? Prabhuji had something? Can you bring the mic back here? Thank you. I think you have to turn it sideways or something.
Thank you for your lecture. And I want to ask you about Varnashram Dharma and this idealistic understanding we have about Bhakti. Is our movement under the influence of time? Is our movement aloof from the discrepancy of materialistic influence?
Is our movement anew?
Aloof.
Aloof. Aloof. Aloof. Okay.
Here we see long time ago, Srivalgasya, the true principles of religions were very much important for the development of the society. And when Srila Prabhupada started his movement, so he put bhakti first, that everything will be solved by this love for Krishna. After some time, he decided to introduce Varnashram Dharma. Is Varnashram Dharma for outside people or for our society of Krishna consciousness? I ask this question because recently in Mayapur I had a small argument with someone who was Indian, who was visiting Mayapur, and then I asked him, who built this Mayapur? How is Mayapur got manifested? He said, that was Krishna. But he couldn't mention Srila Prabhupada. Recently here, I asked one devotee, how this Krishna Balaram temple was built, manifested. He said, it was Krishna. But actually, there is a story behind that. It was Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada went to the West, and he preached to devotees. And the devotees helped Srila Prabhupada to build this temple. So there is a bhakti, it's an idealistic view that we love each other, but you pointed out that love is not something that easy to understand. But actually there's very simple things to we can understand which are the symptoms of love, how we relate to the devotees. So, to round up all this question, I want to know if this movement can be just developed with our understanding of pure love, bhakti, or Varnashram Dharma has to be more clearly defined and understood.
Thank you, Prabhuji. First of all, I'd like to just point out a simple, obvious fact. If someone says that this temple was built by Krishna, Okay. Maybe there's a plaque over in the front of the temple which Srila Prabhupada instructed the devotees to put, and it offers appreciation to different devotees who collected money for this temple. Krishna's not mentioned. But Guru Kripa Swami, at the time, he's mentioned in different devotees. Prabhupada appreciated them very much. Krishna tells Arjuna, nimitta matram bhava savi sachin, that you be my instrument. And we glorify the devotees. We glorify Srila Prabhupada for doing this. Of course, in terms of Vedanta, we say sarva karna karnam, Krishna's the cause of all causes. But Krishna wants to give Prabhupada credit. Our acharyas want to give Prabhupada credit. Now the questions that you're raising are very, very important and relevant questions. How dependent are we on Vanashram Dharma? What is the role of Vanashram Dharma in our society? And these are questions which need to be discussed. I'm a very small person. I'm not an authority in any way, shape, or form. I can give some opinion about things in this regard. It's a controversial topic. I just like to comment in regards to your point, some very obvious, simple things. First of all, we need it. We need some social system. Srila Prabhupada said, we need Vanashram. The devotees said, but that's not for the devotees, right? And Prabhupada said, no, it's for the devotees also. So then, how much Vanashram? And what do we do? So how do we conclude that? It's not just a matter of vote. It's not just a matter of someone giving a class in the Bhagavatam in the morning and saying, my opinion is like this. But it means everybody has to come on the same page. Because when we talk about Vanashram Dharma, the Vanashram Dharma which we see vestiges of in Braj is different from the Vanashram Dharma in Gujarat, which we also find Vanashram. It's different from the Vanashram we find in Orissa. It's different from the Vanashram in South India. And it's different from the Vanashram in Manipur. Here within India, there's many old cultures that have many, many different systems of Vanashram. And our Vanashram that we may have as devotees here in Vrindavan won't be the same as the Vanashram devotees have in China or in the Philippines or in America or in Russia. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that because of different types of water, different types of weather, different languages, people have different types of faith. And their social systems are going to be a little different. So it's a great challenge for us. I agree with what I think is the thrust of your comments, that we need it. But how are we going to establish that? First of all, we need to come on the same page and have a similar set of values. And how do we do that? Well, one way is by coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class. And by hearing and by discussing Paraspara Katanam Pavanam Bhagavadisa, having some discussion going back and forth. And there's three types of discussion, Vada, Jalpa, and Vitanda. In the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. A discussion in the mode of ignorance, one or both parties just want to be heard. They want to win. They don't give a damn, whatever it is. Jalpa, in the mode of passion, means someone just wants to be heard. And they're not listening to you at all. But a vada discussion, both participants just want to know what is the truth. And this should be the quality of our society. Sadly, honestly, it's not always. A lot of times we're affected by passion and ignorance. That's just reality. That's where we're at. So as we progress in bhakti, as devotees become more mature, as the modes of nature recede more, I have hope we can have more and more vada discussions. Because the discussion sometimes is more important than the conclusion. The ability for us to be able to come together and have an open-minded discussion about things without throwing rocks at each other and hating each other. Prabhupada said, he's speaking about Mayapur, and he said there should be unity and diversity. Devotees should come together. Naturally, there's going to be different understandings. But the important thing is there should be vada discussions. This is my humble take on you, and I'm quite sure that practically everybody in this room would have a different take on it also. But we need to come together now. Okay? So maybe we should stop there. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ke Srila Prabhupada ke Goprema Nandi.